And I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the amazing women in the place. Father, help us today. I pray that your word will touch every heart, that your peace would touch each person here. And Father, bless the women today and our congregation in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to talk today and entitle this message, Moses and His Two Moms. It's interesting when you hear the story of Moses, who is probably, his name is in the Bible. If you ever look up the word Moses in a concordance and check how many times you see the name Moses in the Bible, it's stunning. It's just, I didn't count them, but it's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and it's all through the Old Testament, the New Testament. Moses is an amazing figure in the Bible. Now, if you know the story of Moses, you'll know that the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. They were becoming too powerful. And so the Pharaoh, they think it was Ramses at the time, put out an order that every baby boy that was born would be thrown in the river to the crocodiles, killed. And so Moses' mom kept him and refused to do that with her son. She kept him for 3 months hidden in the house. And at 3 months, she knew she wouldn't be able to keep him any longer. She fashioned a little ark, a little boat. She put him in this little boat, and she put him strategically amongst the reeds along the river. Now, the Bible doesn't go into a lot of detail, but as you check out this story or across the Bible, you can learn some things. She didn't just float him down the Nile and hope something happened. They took him to a strategic place where the Pharaoh's daughter would go bathing. So Moses' sister, he had an older sister, came along and stood watch over this ark that was sitting in the reeds along the river. The mother of the Pharaoh, the king's daughter, came out to bathe, and she heard the crying of baby Moses and went and got him out of the reeds. The little Hebrew girl, the sister of Moses, comes running over to them and says, "Would you like me to find you a wet nurse or someone that can breastfeed this baby for you?" And she said, "Yes." So she went and got Moses' mom. This is one incredible woman. Got Moses' mom and brought her mom, Moses' mom, over there. And for the next 2 to 4 years, just understanding the culture of breastfeeding at that time, she would have raised and taught little Moses, her son, about who he was. Then it says, when he was weaned, she turned him over completely. I don't know what that means, if she wasn't in his life at all. But the Pharaoh's daughter then trained him in Egypt, in the ways of Egypt. Because he was in the royal household, he would have had an amazing education. He'd have learned everything from magic to warfare. The Bible gives us hints that this man was powerful in warfare, powerful in words, that he would have been an incredibly intelligent man, powerful man, persuasive man. And when he was an adult, he was out walking one day, and he saw an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew. All right, he's a Hebrew raised in as Egyptian. He goes and kills the Egyptian, buries his body in the sand, and there is this draw of him for him to his people. A little later on, he goes out again and he sees two Hebrews fighting, and he tries to calm them down, and they, "Who are you? Are you going to kill us like you did to the Egyptian?" He thought it was a secret that he'd buried him in the sand, and he realized that the word was out. He had killed an Egyptian. The king was upset. He ran for his life. And Moses goes into the desert. And you know the story of how 40 years later, I haven't got time to go through, it's an incredible story. 40 years later, God through a burning bush and words and speaks to Moses, has him go back into Egypt, take on the new king, which was probably his stepbrother, who he was raised with, and tell him, let God's people go. The 10 plagues, you know the story. But I want to focus today on the fact that Moses was raised by two moms. At a very young age, he had his Hebrew mom who would have taught him about God, that you are a child of God. There's a call of God on your life, that God has wonderfully made you. He has a purpose for your life. God will protect you and bless you and keep you and all the things that they would teach their children. Then he has his Egyptian mom, who her culture is partying and just anything you want. You can imagine in the Pharaoh's household, all the sin. And when you study how cheap life was, how they dominated and killed and had their way as the Pharaohs did, Moses was raised in one of the most sinful homes. So every one of our children are gonna feel the pull and the call of the world. Every one of our children have to grow up in a world where Jesus is Lord over those who give him the lordship of their life. But 2 Corinthians 4:4 says Satan is the god of this world. And so this world pulls at our children. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to be going through this fast, so I could slow down, but it'll take me about an hour to get through this message. And so the Bible says in Hebrews that Moses forsook the temptations, the money, the partying, the extreme power, who he could have been as the son of a Pharaoh. It says he forsook it. He walked away from it, knowing that he was moving towards the Messiah, that he would rather serve the God, the God of the universe. And so he made those decisions. I want you to understand that moms are powerful, amazing. You know, when you look at all the adjectives they put on the screen earlier for mothers, and they were beautiful, you know, and I agree with every one of them, but I'd have to add a few because I have some pretty amazing women in my life. My grandmas on both sides, my dad's mom and my mom's mom, had a profound impact on my life, profound. Then my mom, if you know my mom, that is one strong woman. But then I married one too. And then I've got four daughters before we had a son. And as to watch the women in my life, the strength, the power, that their love for God, but their absolute love for family and their insistence that God, that the family have this preeminent place, not above God, but that our homes and look after our kids are crucial. So we have to understand that today, a lot of the world is trying to say that men and women aren't equal, and I totally agree with a lot of what is said. But in the midst of raising up feminism, a lot of it is pushing down motherhood, as though motherhood is not as important or special. And the Bible does not say that at all. It's crucial that we raise our children in the ways of God. Now, when your kids grow up, I'm not saying that if you don't raise your kids right, that you as a parent are responsible for them not serving God. That's not even true, because as kids grow up, they have their own will. Hello? Let me set some parents free for a minute. God had two kids, and he raised them pretty well, and they disobeyed him. So don't be thinking now, as I share this message, I've failed. No. It's just, let's take a look at the importance of moms and how they have an impact on children. Now, what's amazing to me is this. The impact that I can prove that the Hebrew mother had on Moses was at the most 4 years. And then the amount of time that the Egyptian mother had him in the family would have been 36 years. Yet something took place as she was looking after her son. And there's some powerful scriptures about this. When you get into the Word, about grandmothers and mothers. In 2 Timothy 3:14 to 15, it says, "But don't let it faze you. Stick with what you've learned and believe, sure of the integrity of your teachers. Why, you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk." Whoa. What did he say? That you were taking in the scriptures, the powerful word of God, even while you were taking in your mother's milk. Isn't that incredible that a mom has an impact? And by the word child here, if you look it up, that is used, actually means even in the womb. This is an infant that is not even just born. It's a word that is used for the fetus, if you want to call it that, but it's the child in the womb, the child out of the womb, that this child is being impacted by this mother even when she is breastfeeding it. So before it even has a great understanding of its language and can hear teaching about God, the presence of peace, the presence of joy, the presence that his presence brings to his people is impacting this child. And as she is teaching him the word, even as a little one, as the language begins to come along, whether it's 1 year old to 2 year old, we begin to understand something. And then by 3 and 4, they're being taught about God and who they are. You see, we often think that when we train our children, that it's more important to work out that they share properly. And we do our teaching on the defensive a lot of times. But there's got to be an offensiveness about, I don't mean being offended, I mean like an offense about teaching who they are, where they come from, where they're going, that God is their God. They're made in his likeness and his image. There's a greatness about you. God will protect you. He will go before you. He will love you. He will be there for you. You are special in the eyes of God. All of these things must be taught into our children. And so this is what moms do to such a degree that in the book of Timothy, as you read it, it teaches us there that faith, this faith in God, this faith to move in the things of God can come down generations. That in Timothy's case, his grandmother's faith was passed on to her daughter and from that daughter to Timothy, her son. It says that it moves. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, "Teach what you've seen and heard to your children and your grandchildren." Let me speak to the grandmothers here for a minute. Sometimes we think our job is done, but not according to God. God says that the grandchildren, or that the grandmothers teach as well to the grandchildren the things of God. I've noticed amongst the new moms coming up today that Grandma Google seems to be the most asked over Grandma. It seems like they want to know all this stuff about breastfeeding and potty training and Google it. And of course, it's not that Google's a bad thing, but God has designed the family to be generational, and that grandmothers and mothers and children, that there is this generational blessing that keeps coming down. Mothering the children, being there, raising these children is absolutely crucial. In Psalm 78, it teaches us about passing this on to the next generation. And it even tells us what? God's fame, God's fortune. We must fill our children's imaginations with God's word. The Bible says that God's word, God's principles are so powerful that when you teach them, even to little children, that it's like seeds planted in soil and that those seeds will come up. Here's Moses, who's taught at this young age by his Hebrew mom. And she taught him who he was, where he's going, who God is. God's got a plan for his life, that God is all powerful, that God is above all gods. There are no other gods. It is God. This singular God of the universe is your God. She taught these things to such a degree and imparted those into him that even the pull of Egypt and the pull of sin and the pull of fame and the pull of power and riches and sexual and all these things, that he followed God in his life. And I really want to encourage all of us to see the stunning value of moms, dads, but today's Mother's Day, and as we teach our children the Word of God. If we don't teach them the Word of God, we just teach them to be good, to be respectful. Now, these are all important things to teach, but these things don't teach them who they are in their identity. And so one of the crucial teachings to children is, who are you? What is your identity? And if you don't teach a child his identity, today we've got all these secular people, don't even tell them if they're a male or a female. That's ridiculous, just so we all know. Okay? The Word says that we teach them what God says about them in the Bible. And so teach them who they are in Christ. Teach them who they are in their future. Teach them how much God loves them, that God created them, that God is there for them. All of these teachings is what brings stability to that human psyche, brings stability to this person to be who God made them to be. And will there be things they struggle with? Of course. Everybody in this room struggles with something in who they are and who am I and where am I going and what do I do? And all of us have struggles. But we turn to Jesus and to God's Word to take a look at who we are. The Bible gives us some really special things. And maybe I'm just speaking to the brand new moms who've often said, so many people have asked me, would you just teach on raising kids? And we're going to do a series like that soon, just some of the most crucial things as new families raise up children. But let me just throw a few thoughts out there that I know just so many moms here have learned. And so I'm just speaking to the new ones maybe. But there's some special things the Word says. And I'll share six quickly that we must teach our children. And if we do, we can be like Moses' mother. Watch him raised for decades in a horrible area where the pull of sin and the temptation of sin is on him day after day with the greatest temptations you could ever imagine. And he stood strong. What did she do? Number one, she taught him God's Word in Deuteronomy 6:6-8. And it's important that moms get the Word inside of them first, and then inside of their children. You can't teach them what you don't have. And that's something I could teach on for quite a while, that the way the Bible is taught means you have to have that revelation before you teach it. And so we have to walk in it. The second thing, after teaching, the Bible teaches us to train our children. See, teaching is more of information, but training is like coaching. If I'm going to coach soccer players, I have to be on the field watching them. This one doesn't run fast enough. This one doesn't turn properly. This one doesn't pivot properly. This one's got to pump their arms faster. So if you're going to train them, this is ongoingly as they are around. So you can't raise children with a TV. You can't raise children with just a movie. You have to be there, and as the little ones grow up, the things you teach them, now you train them in the teaching. This is the teaching. Now, don't do that to your sister. Look at your sister. She loves you too, sweetie. Share your toys. Look at her smile. She's smiling. And you begin to take this thought that you taught them, like sharing and being loving, and now you train them in it as they're playing amongst. So when people think, well, what do mothers do? Give your head a shake. Okay? Give your head a shake. What do moms do? Wow. Take a look at what they do. So there's teaching. Then there's training. And Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're older, they'll not turn from it. Now, it's not guaranteeing that you have to dominate and force your kids to serve God. They've got free will. But when all of that teaching and all of God's Word is planted in their hearts and they grow and rise up, they've got the best ability to make choices. And if you've got kids that for some reason have turned their back on God, you be at peace. The Word that is in them will come up. Hello. The Word, according to 1 Peter 2:24, is unstoppable, unkillable. It's still there in the soil of their heart, and it's coming up. So don't you worry about it. Just continue to believe God. A third thing that we're to do for our children is to provide for our children. And, you know, and that's not hard everyone understand, but to provide for them all the things they need, from home to food to education. And then 1 Timothy 5:8 says that it literally is knocking anyone who will not provide for their own children. Of course, that's got ramifications with broken families, etc. A fourth thing it talks about is to nurture their children. That means you don't just correct them. You don't just teach them things and then coach them. But this nurturing is how you do it. Do you do it with a loving value? Do you do it with a compassion and a love, a tenderness? The Bible teaches us that we don't make them angry, don't irritate them or make them so that you're just so abrupt in anger that these kids aren't being nurtured. This means reared, tenderly trained as children, not just dominated. You can't take a child and dominate them into the place God's called them to be, because God has given every human being free will. And free will means that your spouse can't dominate you. You can't dominate your kids. You can train them and raise them, but at a certain age, they're going to make all of their own decisions. So nurturing is crucial, Ephesians 6, 4 says. And then the Bible actually tells us to control our children in 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 12. And I think those are important things because we live in an age right now where we don't want to do anything to stop that little personality from exalting itself. Let it scream on a plane, in a store. Let it just, you know, manifest its irritable, angry little personality. And moms think, because of Dr. Google, that don't try to stop. That's ridiculous. The Bible's very clear that we must discipline them. We must control them. We don't let them just do whatever they want, because when mom's done getting them, the kindergarten teacher's got to teach them that if mom didn't teach them that. Okay? And if they can't teach it there, then life's got to teach them that. And if life can't teach them that, jail teaches them that. So we must discipline, control, teach these children that you're not living alone on this world. And so there's a respect. And we must, there are consequences. You know, you can make any decision you want because you have free will. But there's a consequence with every decision that you make. And when they learn that, they get a real good understanding. And then the sixth thing I'll give you is just to love your children. In Titus 2, 4, it says there that the older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. So love must be more than I have goosebumps when I see you. Actually, the goosebumps go in about 2 years. But when you look at love is valuing. I'm so glad that I had grandmothers who were absolutely in love with me. When I think about my Bubba on my mom's side, my grandma on my dad's side, all I can think of is how incredibly loved I was. When I think about my mom, how she raised me and trained me, and I look at how much she values me, when I look at my wife, and I see the decisions that she made so unselfishly year after year with our five children and the things that she did, I just stand in awe as I watch. And I watch my girls become mothers. I mean, doesn't that mess with you folks? And you just see this generational thing that when moms are respected, loved, valued. Do not let this world remove the incredible honor, integrity, value, and importance of mothering children. It's not just something you do on the side as you pursue something else. It is crucial for the rest of our lives as we parent that we make sure that each generation is being prepared to serve God. When you study the Word, you begin to recognize that God is into generations. When you begin to look at God's Word, you'll find out that even when He picked Abraham to cut the covenant with, that it was because of how He looked at his home and his children. As a church, as a people, let's value. We need to make sure we understand that God made men and women equal. You'll never win if you and me sit down with the Bible to see if men should dominate women and women should submit to men. I'll show you that no, there's a mutuality for that. We submit one to the other. We love and appreciate and value one another when it comes to this. But today, I just want to say to the moms that are here, that mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, that everything that you've poured into those little ones, you know, others might not value it. Even the children might not value it. But all that teaching from God's Word is like seed that has been planted in their hearts. And sometimes that seed doesn't come up. Have you ever had when your kids have kids, all of a sudden they look at you and you go, Mom, you're incredible. Because all of a sudden some of the teaching begin to rise up and some of the things they see and begin to know as they go through these different seasons of life. My time is up, but I just want to say to the moms, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers, don't ever give up. Make sure that we learn to get together. How can I put it? That the Bible teaches us, grandmothers, mothers, and children, that we work together. To you new moms, you know, there's a new thing on the rise today called social media. and it causes mums to compete and look at perfect mums. You know, mums are only perfect on Instagram. Mums are only perfect on Facebook. And they're trying to show that they're always wearing a dress, their kids are always clean and mannered, they genuflect and thank you, mom. And that's stop comparing and worrying and build great friendships, especially amongst your own family and those that are around you. And let's come together and let's be so proud in a good way of being moms, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and raising kids. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world is very true. I want to just pray for every woman in the room, every woman. Would you mind just standing up? Not just moms, every woman in the room. Would you please just stand to your feet? We want to pray over you today. We just are so thankful for what you add, what you've done, for the sacrifices, the things that you've done to raise children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And the Bible says that when we pray for one another, that there actually is a tangible blessing that is released when we pray. So wherever all the rest of you are that are sitting on seats, would you just stretch a hand out toward all these beautiful, amazing women that are standing on their feet? Father, we are before you today as God. We thank you for creating family. We thank you for creating women. We thank you for creating home. We thank you for all the gifts and abilities that are in these women today. And here at Springs, I ask that you heal them, that you touch them, that the things they are believing you for, that, Father, they would see them happen quickly, that you'd heal broken hearts, that you'd restore children that maybe have left, that, Father, you do miracles in these homes and in these families. We stand in agreement. We stand in agreement with them. And Father, I pray that they would feel valued. They would feel loved. That Father, you would do something in their heart to make them so proud in a godly way of what they are doing and what they have done in family and home and for the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody in agreement said out loud, amen. Amen. Give them a hand as they are seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.